We have a guest who's going to be sharing the message for us who needs no introduction. But what I do believe is that as you open your heart, open your Bible, open your journal, that you will receive from this man today and receive a word from the Lord. This is one of our every nation leaders, and I hope that as you hear him, that you would consider these three questions. One, what is the Spirit saying to you? Two, what are you going to do about it? And three, what are you going to be praying for during this time? Well, bless you. Enjoy the word. We'll see you straight afterwards.
Today, I have a simple message about two roads, two destinations, but to get to those destinations requires probably 2 million little decisions that we make throughout our lives. We always end up in one destination or the other based on those decisions. A series of decisions, sometimes big decisions, sometimes small decisions. In 2015, the most famous American poem written by the most famous American poet was published, and the poem was originally written, of course, by Robert Frost to his friend, his hiking buddy, Edward Thomas. And I just want to read the first and the last stanzas about this idea of two different destinations, two different roads, and how we get on those. Here we go. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. So he talks about, he presents these two roads. Imagine hiking in the woods, and now it comes to a fork. In the next two stanzas, Frost describes the agony of this decision about which road to take, and you can't do both at the same time. And he even reflects that perhaps later on I'll go take the one I missed. And of course, we rarely do that once we go down a road. And then it ends with the fourth stanza. I want to read. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. This poem is often mistitled from this phrase in the fourth stanza and called The Road Less Traveled, but that's not what it's about. The title of the poem is actually The Road Not Taken, and the implication is often when we make this decision and we go left or right, we make one of these million decisions, sometimes we're tormented by the one we didn't take. Sometimes we think maybe that was a missed opportunity, or oftentimes we know we've taken the wrong road and we're tormented out of that. Sometimes we take the right road and then we're tormented by what we're missing out on. And this is what Frost wraps into this idea of the road not taken, not necessarily focusing on the one less traveled. Think about all the roads you didn't take. Sometimes it was the grace of God as a leader to keep you from making a tragic decision that would have affected many people. And so when we think about the one not taken, now, there's a passage in Scripture I want to look at that speaks about these two roads. It speaks about two ways. And oftentimes in Proverbs and in Psalms, the idea of ways. There's a way that seems right to man. And it talks about how Moses knew the way of the Lord, this idea of way, which is a bigger concept than road. But let's think about the two roads, two paths, two ways, and with completely different destinations at the end. And we make all of these choices. Now, I want to read Psalm 1. Spurgeon called Psalm 1 the Psalm of Psalms. Psalm 1 is often mentioned as an introduction to the next 149 Psalms. And what an introduction does, if you think about a book you read, sometimes a book has a foreword, a preface, and an introduction. And sometimes I used to get confused about what is the difference? Why does it have all of those? Well, an introduction is basically a summary of everything you're about to read. And Psalm 1 is that. It is a summary of the next 149 books. a foreword. A foreword is typically written by someone other than the author that explains why you should read this. And while the Holy Spirit ultimately is the author of all of the Psalms, Psalm 1 definitely explains why you should read all the rest of the Psalms. And then there's the idea of a preface. A preface is typically written by the author to explain, why did I write this? And that is, again, what Psalm 1 is. It is both a foreword, a preface, and an introduction. And I love Spurgeon's Psalm of Psalms. So to understand the next 149, it's all here in seed form in Psalm 1. So let's read it, and I want you to notice the first word and the last word. As we read Psalm 1, all six verses, the first word and the last word. And these words are in such contrast, and these are the two destinations. This is how our life will look when it's summarized, either with word one or the final word. And what determines that is how we respond to all that's in the middle, from the second word of verse one to the second to last word, determines which one of these our life looks like. Here we go. Remember, the first word and the last word. Verse one, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. First word, remember, blessed is the person who does this. The last word, perish. We have so many choices of these two roads and two ways and two paths and two ways of doing life and two ways of approaching faith in every part of life. We are constantly, endlessly faced with a million little and some occasionally big choices. When they all add up, they lead to a life, not just life, but eternity that is blessed, or a life and an eternity that perishes. What happens that determines all of these based on the beginning and the end of Psalms? As I've mentioned, two paths, two ways, two roads, only two destinations, not a third. There's no other option. But all these decisions, they're explained right here with three contrast. Verse 1 and 2 contrasts the world and the word. And the real question is, what shapes our thinking, the word or the world? What shapes our value systems, the word or the world? What shapes the way we make decisions, and what determines those decisions? Is it the word or the world? We see this contrast. Verse 1 talks about this blessed life, the life that is blessed and ends up blessed, starts off by what we don't do. And sometimes we think about the blessing of God is determined by what we do, but it's not just by what we do. Before it's anything we do, it's what we avoid. Living a blessed life and living in the blessing of the Lord has to do with what we avoid and what we pursue. But we start with avoiding, and it says it's not. It's in the negative. This blessed life, it talks about walking. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. It's not standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of scoffers. It's talking about walking, standing, and sitting. Now, if you think about this, it talks about the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. We can walk in life. We're moving. We're making progress. We're going from one place to another, and there, it's impossible that we wouldn't encounter some kind of wickedness or sinful context or scoffing. But as long as we keep walking, not a problem, really. But it's when we decide to stand, we stop right there in the middle of it. That becomes problematic. But worse than that is when we sit. And what we see is a progression of becoming more and more comfortable in more and more ungodliness. Walking, that's not a place of comfort, that's moving. Standing, now I'm a little more comfortable. Sitting, I'm going to be here for a while. That's not the blessed life. So think about, what are you sitting in? What is going on in your head with what you sit and watch, what you sit and read, the kind of people you sit and absorb their values and their concepts and their ideas versus moving on and continuing down the path of the righteousness. So you've got this contrast, this person who gets very comfortable in ungodliness versus what we see in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So you've got the world, all of this wickedness, letting that shape us, or we have the Word, meditating on the law of God, delighting in the Word of God. There's not a third option. We're either filling our heads and our hearts with the world, or we're filling it with the Word. It's a daily choice. It's a constant choice that we go through life. What will we fill our heads and our hearts with? The world's ideas or the ideas from the Word? Every time we choose the Word, we are walking in what is described here as the blessing of God. The second contrast we see in verse 3 and 4. And what we see is a tree planted by streams of water contrasted with chaff thrown to the wind. A fruitful tree and chaff. Now, what do you mean by that? Now, many places in the world, there are trees, fruit trees, all kinds of vegetation that survive even if they're not planted by water. But where this psalm was written and described in the ancient Middle East is a desert. And so if a tree, a plant, a fruit tree especially, is not planted in proximity to moving water, its leaf withers, there's no fruit, the tree eventually dies. Now, many places where we live today, we get plenty of rain, there's irrigation systems, there are all kind of ways to keep water to the plant. But in that day, it was life and death if we were planted by water. And so what we see here is the idea of planting. We see this concept of being blown by the wind, that is a rootless, not a permanent situation, blown here and there by the wind, that's the chaff, versus a fruit tree with roots. And so the question is this, are you willing to let God root you, plant you, put you someplace where you can't just move on the moment your feelings get hurt, the moment you get offended, the moment you hear a sermon or a leadership idea or a direction or a correction or something that doesn't make you comfortable, will you stay rooted? If you've ever been to West Texas, my dad is from West Texas, it's desert, and there are these weird plants, they're called tumbleweeds. They're parts of dried up, dead pieces of plant that become like a ball, and they just blow. They tumble, weed, tumbleweed. It blows. As the wind comes, they blow because there's no roots. Rootedness means that we aren't just blown by what Ephesians talks about, winds of doctrine. Rootedness means the winds come, we might bend, but we stay rooted, we stay placed. Where has God placed you? What spiritual community, what spiritual family, what church family, what church community, what leadership community, theological community has God rooted you in where there's the water of the Word flowing? Rootedness is part of this whole package of the blessed life. Lack of rootedness, blowing by the chaff, we don't think about that word much anymore in our urban communities. But those from an agrarian world, especially if you are used to harvesting wheat, the outward part of grain is the chaff. It's not really a shell, but it's a crusty part, and the chaff has to be separated from the grain, from the wheat, or whatever the grain is. And they often did it. I've seen them do this in the Philippines. They often would do it by getting a winnowing fork, a large fork, throwing the grain in the air. The wind blows, the chaff comes off. And chaff is the part of the grain that is completely useless. It can't be digested by humans. It's worthless. It's useless. It's burned up. It's thrown away. And so we're talking here in 3 and 4. On the one hand, this tree that's bearing fruit and chaff, which is useless. It all has to do with the water or the wind. Being rooted by water, allowing our roots to go deep so we can't just be blown around and move around whenever we want. There is a confinement with rootedness. And then finally, we see this third contrast. So we've got is our input from the Word of God or the world? Is our life rooted by the water, or are we just blown by the wind? And then finally, we see in verse 5 and 6, we see the way of the wicked contrasted with the way of the righteous. And this idea of the way is all throughout Scripture. And it ends up only these two pathways, these two worlds, these two ways of doing life and of thinking about spirituality. Now, Jesus mentions this whole concept with another type of vocabulary in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And he speaks about that there is a narrow gate and there is a wide road. In this narrow gate, he talks about there are few that find it, but this wide road, there's a lot of traffic on it. One is easy, one is difficult. One is the road most traveled, one is the road less traveled, to use Frost terminology. But Jesus spoke about these two ways, these two pathways, these two openings, these two roads, these two directions. And again, they do end up in the same kind of idea that we see in Psalm 1. There's blessing and there's perish. We make these choices constantly. As we look at the end of this, it says in verse 5 and 6, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment. And he starts describing judgment of the wicked and the righteous. I know we don't like to think about this and we don't like to preach about it much. I wish we would preach about it more. All roads lead to judgment. One day, we all die. None of us are living forever. We're all temporary here in this life and in this earth. Our bodies will die, and we will face judgment. Every single road leads toward judgment, every single decision. In that judgment, it's either blessing or perish. Those are the options. But make no mistake that all the decisions, they're leading toward a day of accountability and a day of reckoning with God, where we will give an account for our lives and what we did. And that judgment is very real. And it is toward the end of this. Now, when I think about Jesus and talking about the wide and the narrow and these two ways that people can go, think about what he did. When Jesus was approaching the cross, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays a prayer that I think God always answers if we really pray it sincerely. He said basically this. He said, God, I don't want to do this. He knew what was coming. He knew the cross was right there. And he said, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. I don't want to do it. It's not joyful. It's not comfortable. It's not what any human would choose. I don't want to do it. But not my will, but your will be done. It's a good prayer to pray as we face the choices that we know are going to lead to suffering. We know they will lead to sacrifice. Throughout church history, often they led to death. We make these choices. We face these decisions. Everything in our culture presses us toward sitting where it's comfortable. Everything in the world we're in pushes us toward the happy, the comfortable, the self-absorbed. But if we're really going to be the leaders God's called us to be, we will have to make choices that lead to the opposite of sitting in comfort. We will have to make the choices that lead to sacrifice, suffering, and when everyone else looks and goes, that is crazy, why would you do that? You know why? For the sake of the call, for the sake of our Savior, for the honor of God. So let me encourage you, make the hard choices. Think about where these roads end. Let's break free from the drive to comfort that our culture presses on us everywhere we turn. And let's pick up our crosses and follow Him every decision along the way. Not just one big decision, but these million little decisions that we pick up our cross every day. And when it all is said and done and we're pushing toward judgment, we'll look back and we will have lived a life that is blessed by God, not a life that perishes.
Hey, family, hope that you enjoyed that word. Hey, before we quickly go to the end announcements, can I pray with you for a moment? Lord, thank you for each individual watching right now. Lord, I pray that that word spoke to them. I pray that you met with them, that you are ruminating your thoughts in their heart right now, that you are engaging them and allowing them to process this word as it pertains to their life and how they can follow you more faithfully and more deliberately. Father, I pray that anyone who's watching this, who doesn't know you, who doesn't follow you, but yet desires to, feels an inkling to, today I'm praying that they will cross the line, that they would make a decision to say, today I want to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for being a kind and gracious and faithful and strong and mighty God. We give our lives to you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, I want to remind you, as you jet off, we have our Pathways class that happens every single week. It happens online over Zoom, 2 p.m. on Sundays. This is for anyone who wants to take their next steps in the faith. This might be you being a new believer or still kind of wondering and having a lot of questions about Christianity, or maybe you're a veteran and you want to refresh your foundations. Join our Pathways class today. And as we do every single week, I want to end this video with a blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may he give you shalom. May he give you peace now and forever. Amen.